Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto. Today we're talking about how courtrooms are laid out. Everything you need to know about a courtroom. So if you haven't been in a court for a while or never been in a courtroom, and you're curious to know what to expect when you go into a courtroom, I'm going to give you the very, very basics of what you're going to see, how to behave, and then especially if you're going to, like, say, litigate your own case. Hey, dare to dream. If you're going to actually try your own case, I'm going to try to give you some very, very basic things that you can keep in mind that'll actually allow you to do better. Okay, so in other words, anybody can go to court, represent themselves, stumble through it, but just there's a few basic things you can do to help yourself. So first of all, the key is to understand what you're seeing when you walk into a courtroom, okay? So in case you're curious, I'm an attorney in Michigan. What I'm describing to you, though, is probably the case for the most part, most courtrooms in America, and possibly even Canada. The name of some of the participants in Canada might be different, but the courtrooms appear to be the same. I double-checked very, very quickly before I started shooting the video. And I actually taught law school and I taught trial practice for 10 years, and many of my students were actually Canadians who were doing a joint program with a university, I think, in Windsor, along with the University of Detroit. So I know that some of my students have gone back to practice law in Canada. So having said that, first of all, keep in mind that there are a variety of different courts. There are state courts, there are federal courts. And then from the trial court level, above them are appeals courts, and above them are Supreme Courts, whether it's a state Supreme Court or a U.S. Supreme Court, the big one over all of us. And so I'm basically talking here about the trial courts, okay? The place that you have a small claims court lawsuit you want to pursue, that's going to be in a trial court. You get sued for a car accident, that's going to be in a trial court. The amount of money is often what determines which court you wind up in. In Michigan, claims below $25,000 are in one court. Claims above $25,000 are in another court in the state system. Federal court has all different rules. But generally speaking, the courts themselves contain the same basic elements. So I'm going to describe them as if you are walking in the back door of a courtroom towards the judge. And just for the sake of I'm making the video, I get to be the judge. But also because it'll be clearer for us to keep this in relationship to you walking in the back of a courtroom and me sitting at the bench, which is where the judge sits, okay? So when you walk into a courtroom, there's going to be certain pieces of furniture. If there's no one in the courtroom, you walk into an empty courtroom, there's going to be certain things that are going to be in every single courtroom. Some are more formal than others. You know, on TV and movies, when you see courtrooms, there are all these beautiful big rooms with, you know, marble floors and mahogany, you know, wainscoting. I don't know. And I've seen stuff on YouTube where people go into a court and they're in a little tiny cramped room and a judge is sitting at a folding table. That's possible. Okay, so a courtroom can be any number of things. And what makes it real is if, in fact, that there's a judge who's up at the front who's authorized to be there, and there's a state seal and usually a couple other things that make it official. But a courtroom, generally speaking, when you walk in the back door and you look, you stand and just look around to see what's in there, the first thing you're going to notice is up at the front is the bench. The bench is where the judge sits. So you walk into a simple courtroom, court's in session, Judge Steve is up here, I'm sitting at the bench. And the bench is usually a thing, you know, like a big desk, but it's often raised up a little bit to give you that impression of power. But the bench is where the judge sits, okay? Near the bench are going to be a couple other things, and it's primarily places for other people to sit. So one of the most obvious things is where the witness will be speaking from or testifying from. So the witness stand is often a place for a chair on either side of the bench. I know in England, witnesses often stand when they're testifying. I think defendants sometimes stand. If I learn nothing else from The Prestige, I believe that's the case. Greatest movie ever made, but I digress. So the bench is where the judge sits, and then nearby will be a witness stand. And then someplace near the witness stand, most courtrooms record what happens in them. Now, I've heard from people in other states that there are some courts that don't record what happens. But generally speaking, they have to make a record of what happens. So if you wanted to appeal it, you could take it up on appeal. Otherwise, who's to say what happened in court other than the final judgment of the court? So someplace near where the witness stand is will be a court reporter or the equipment for a court reporter to use. So in other words, you walk into a courtroom and there's a court case happening. And you look up at the front, there's the guy in the black robe. That's me. I'm the judge. Over here is a person testifying. That's a witness. And then next to them is a person typing into one of those stenographer machines or speaking into one of those weird things that looks like a gas mask. That's a court reporter recording everything that's happening in the courtroom. Along with other things happening up near the bench, there's often a bailiff. Now, the bailiff position can be anywhere in the courtroom, and I've actually seen some bailiffs who just simply wander the courtroom because they don't have any place to be. But I've also seen some courtrooms that specifically have a place for the bailiff to sit when the court's in session. So the bailiff is often a sheriff's deputy or a police officer of that municipality, or marshal, I guess, in the federal court maybe. But bailiffs are, you know, actually law enforcement officers, usually with a badge and a gun, to enforce things in the courtroom that need immediate enforcement, if you know what I mean. So, you know, taking prisoners in and out of the courtroom, that might be done by bailiffs. Or if there's a disorder in the court, the judge ain't going to jump over the bench and wrestle someone to the ground. It's going to be the bailiff. So that's important to know. Now, one other person who's often in the courtroom is a court clerk. And I've seen the court clerk merge with a court reporter. It's not uncommon that a court will have one person doing both jobs. But there's usually somebody who oversees the handling of the docket, the calling of the cases, and the paperwork of the court. And that's often a court clerk. So oftentimes in court, you have a judge at the bench, and there's a person sitting next to the judge or near the judge who's taking notes, writing things down, and the judge will, you know, have a piece of paper he wants to, you know, have something done with. He hands it to the court clerk. Court clerk takes care of it. That might be a court reporter in some courtrooms, but there's usually a person who does that for the judge. The one other thing I think is interesting is then you have the bench, and then, like I said, witness, court reporter, court clerk, and possibly a bailiff, you know, chair or something. And then on one side or the other in an American courtroom is going to be a jury box. And if you are in a district court that doesn't hear full-size jury trials where you use 12 jurors, there might be a jury box that only has 8 chairs in it. So, for instance, in Michigan, a lot of court cases that happen in district courts happen with only 8 jurors, 6 jurors and 2 alternates. So a jury box might be smaller, but you'll have a jury box on one side or the other. That's where the jury sits. So you walk into a court, and the court's in session, and you see people sitting in the jury box. That means there's a jury trial in session. One thing I have to tell you as a matter of courtesy, if you are ever walking through a courthouse and there are courtrooms around, watch for signs, and literal signs, near the doors. They'll often put a sign out that says, "Quiet. You know, jury trial in progress," to let you know that they don't want you making noise and things outside the courtroom that would distract the jurors who are trying to hear a case. And that's a courtesy you do for the jurors. One other thing then is, as you move further away from me towards you at the back of the courtroom, is there are then going to be tables, okay? And sometimes a podium between the tables. But there'll be tables, and one side will sit at one table and one side will sit at the other table. So if it's a lawsuit, the plaintiff will sit at one side with his counsel, if he has any. Or if it's a criminal trial, the prosecution will sit at one side and the defense counsel will sit at the other along with the defendant. And believe it or not, this is one of those things that most people don't stop to think about, but who sits at what table is defined by who's the prosecution or who's the plaintiff. And in most cases, they will have the plaintiff or the prosecution sit at the counsel table closest to the jury. And it's just something they've done for years. It has to do with the fact that they've got the burden of proof. They sit closer to the jury. Don't know if it gives them an advantage or not, but that's just how it is, at least in most cases in Michigan. So you walk into a courtroom, there's a court case happening, you sit down quietly and you look up at the bench, judge, witness testifying, court reporter writing it all down, bailiff standing over here with a badge and a gun watching, and a court clerk taking notes maybe, and the judge, of course, presiding, and then a jury box filled with jurors and the counsel tables and their respective clients sitting at the counsel tables. Now, if you walk into a courtroom that's empty or you walk into a courtroom that's got something happening in it, one of the things that most non-attorneys don't pay attention to, but it's an extremely important thing, is there is a thing called the rail. And it's actually, in most courtrooms, there'll be a little wall or a little railing usually, and it's often waist high, and it often goes from one wall to the other, and it often will have swinging doors at one or two points where you can get through that spot. Some courtrooms just have a rail there with no doors, just with an opening. But you need to understand something. And again, some of the things I'm telling you might not make as much sense to you, but you understand that when you're in a courtroom has a certain decorum to it. And I know some people who say, Steve, why do I have to stand up for the judge? Why do I have to do these things? The judge isn't God. He's not king. He's not Jesus. Why do I have to do these things out of respect for the judge? You're not doing them out of respect for the judge. You're doing them out of respect for the court, okay? The judge is a judge, but the court is the entity, okay? Most people mistakenly think, oh, it's the judge. Well, when they address the judge, they don't say, you know, this honorable judge. They go, this honorable court. You're referring to the court, okay? So the judge, yeah, there's a person up there who's got a lot of power. But you're not doing all these things out of respect for that one person. You're doing them out of respect for the court. Now, if you don't want to show respect to the court, that's a choice you can make. But it's one of those things where how much respect do you want someone to give you when you don't show them respect? And again, like I said, you know, it's not the person, it's the court. But remember, there's a bunch of people up there who work for the court. There's the judge, there's the bailiff, there's the court clerk, there's the court reporter. All of these people who work for the court system. And then also, for instance, if you're appearing in front of a jury might look at you and go, why does this person not respect the court? You know? But anyways, here's the thing. When you enter a courtroom, you do not pass the rail unless you're invited to. Even attorneys won't pass the rail, at least they're not supposed to, generally speaking, if there's somebody in the courtroom. So if I enter a courtroom and there's a judge on the bench, but for whatever reason, there's not a trial going on, I will actually walk up to the rail and make eye contact with the court clerk or whoever's up at the front, you know, handling what's happening, and wait till they call me up. And it's a matter of courtesy. It's like you walk up to somebody's office, they got the door open. You don't just walk in and start talking to them. You walk up the edge, you know, you stick your head in the door, excuse me, you know, can I talk to you? You get permission before entering somebody's office. And likewise, you get permission before passing the rail, okay? I've seen judges and I've seen bailiffs and I've seen court clerks before where somebody walked into a courtroom and put a pile of papers on top of the rail. And I've actually seen a bailiff walk by and jokingly say, if that's there in 30 seconds, I'm going to shoot it off. I don't think he would, but the attorney removed the papers just in case. But it was one of those things where everyone sitting near him looked and said, oh, you don't put your stuff there like you're at home watching TV. No, that's not where you put the TV guide, okay? You don't put your feet up there. You don't put your junk up there. You don't put your papers on that. That is an official line of demarcation, okay? One other thing that I think is extremely important is that when you're in a courtroom, and I mentioned all these different places that people are. Let's suppose you're trying a case. You've decided that you've watched enough videos on YouTube. You're going to go into court and try a case. Okay, well, for instance, when you go into court, I always suggest that when people go into court, they should dress nicely. Now, you don't have to dress nicely. You can wear jeans and a t-shirt if you want to. But I always tell people that you should always dress nicely because you kind of want people to pay attention to you and treat you with respect. And if you treat them with respect, maybe you'll get some respect back. I don't know. Seems crazy, but it's always worked for me. But likewise, when you enter a courtroom, you should be quiet. Okay? They're conducting very serious business in a courtroom. And I've seen people walk into courtrooms, goofing around, laughing and joking and, you know, popping bubble gum and stuff. And you kind of wonder like, oh, you know, how seriously are you taking this place? You're going to want some serious business conducted here. You should treat it seriously. Men should not wear hats in a courtroom. I taught trial practice. And on the first day of trial practice, I would tell my students, we were all sitting in a mock courtroom at the school. And I would say, by the way, after today, no hats in this room. And I had students go, we wear hats to school all the time. I go, we're pretending this is a courtroom. You don't wear a hat in a courtroom. And there's a reason for that. I've sat in front of a class before and I've been teaching a class before and kids have got their heads down with baseball hats on, although half of them are wearing them backwards. And you can't see their eyes. You can't see their faces. And you're looking around a classroom and kids have got their faces down like this. And it's not as respectful as somebody who's looking at you in the eye when you're talking to them. I'm talking about people wearing a baseball hat in a courtroom. So I would suggest that you not wear the hat in a courtroom. Now, I've seen people get in arguments with bailiffs before and say, hey, I don't have to remove my hat. And the bailiff says, no, actually you do. And the court has the right to enforce certain rules about decorum and respect inside the walls of the courtroom. And I've had people say, well, that's stupid. I mean, you know, the guy, again, the judge isn't God. What? Well, courts are allowed to enforce their own rules within the four walls. And again, it's not respect for the man. It's respect for the court. Okay? So take your hat off. Okay? If you really think that's the hill you want to die on, shut my video off right now and go watch something else. You can go find a grumpy cat somewhere. Remember that if you are going to be trying your own case, you're going to be working and doing something in court where you're interacting with the judge, okay, or the parties in a courtroom, the first thing you should always remember is you should stand up when you speak. I've seen people before who are trying cases in court. They're obviously amateurs, and there's nothing wrong with being an amateur, but the point is, why not learn how to do it right? So if you're going to address the court, you stand up to speak. And I've had people say, well, you know, why can't I sit and talk? And well, one, it's a sign of respect. And number two, if someone stands up to speak, I'm going to listen a little more carefully. I hate to tell you that, but it's true. And if you stand up to speak to me, I'm going to listen a little more carefully. I'm going to let you speak a little bit longer. If you haven't got the time or the energy to stand up and speak to me, sorry. But if you don't respect what you're saying, why should I respect it? Okay. Second of all, if you're actually trying a case and there's witnesses, for instance, one thing you should understand, this is true of attorneys or non-attorneys, you never approach the bench or a witness or even the court clerk without asking permission if the judge is on the bench. So I have a piece of paper in my hands and I want to hand this to a witness to ask them if they can identify it, okay? First of all, hopefully I made copies of it so I can give copies to my opposing counsel, give a copy to the judge wants to see it. But before I do anything, I can hand one to my opposing counsel and say, Your Honor, I would now like to approach the witness and hand this document to them. May I do that? And the judge is either gonna say, yes, you may, and thank you for asking, or the judge might say, no, just hand it to the bailiff. The bailiff will do that for you. And sometimes some courts would rather have the bailiff handling the documents. But the point is, you don't just wander around and approach a witness. And again, you might say, why? The witness isn't God, the witness isn't king. It's a sign of respect. There's certain ways you behave in certain situations. That's what you do. You ask for permission, may I approach the witness? If there is a situation where you actually feel the need to approach the bench, you would ask for permission to approach the bench. And the judge probably, if you're not an attorney, is going to say, why? You can just speak from back there. However, you don't ever just walk up to the bench without permission. I've seen attorneys who've been practicing law for 30 years make that mistake in a trial because they were getting so comfortable during the trial that they actually just wandered up the bench to ask a question. I've seen a judge shut somebody down. The judge doesn't care how long you've been practicing law. The judge just says, counselor, step back and ask for permission if you want to approach the bench. One thing you should also know, and this is one of these, this is like a hidden secret thing that very few people know about, but attorneys do, and many of them instinctively know this, and many of them also would know this if you asked them, explain every single possible thing that could happen or every pitfall that could happen in a courtroom. If you looked at a traditional courtroom, and I'm the judge sitting at the bench, court clerk, witness, jurors over here, two tables over here for the counselors, and you're at one of those tables, and you find yourself over here and you need to get to the witness, okay? You never walk through what's called the pit. You never walk through the spot in front of the bench. It's considered extremely rude and extremely inappropriate. And so instead, if you watch courtrooms, this is one of those things that now that I tell you about it, if you watch a live trial someplace, you'll see the attorney who needs to do that and he'll walk around or she'll walk around behind the counsel tables. And once over here, say, Your Honor, may I approach the witness? And then approach the witness. They will not cut across, although it's the shortest distance between two points. So you never walk through the pit. And I know some of this might be old school, and there's probably some young judges going, I didn't know that. But that's something that's very, very true. One of the other things, and I really want to stress this, is that all of the things they talk about being courteous and being respectful in a courtroom, dressing nice, men don't wear hats, okay? When the judge walks in, everyone stands up. And I've actually seen on YouTube people go, I don't stand up for the judge. Oh boy. Aren't you a hero? Here's the thing. Like I said, you're not standing up for the judge. You're standing up out of respect for the court. Okay, it's the court. It's not the judge. But again, you know, if you want the system to respect you, you should respect the system. So dress nice, be polite. And one of the things that I think a lot of people worry about is they go to court and the judge lets them speak. Judge lets the other side speak. And then all of a sudden, this person over here just jumps in and starts arguing or saying something. You have to take turns when speaking in court. You have to take turns. Because two people speaking at once are a nightmare for the court reporter. The court reporter, I've seen good ones, who can actually write an argument down verbatim as people say things over each other. But it doesn't work. And I've seen court reporters actually shush people. I've been shushed by a court reporter for speaking too fast. I've had judges tell people to slow down before, but also to stop stepping on each other. And a judge will actually say, you know, one at a time. And a lot of people, when they get chastised like that, take it personally. And they're like, oh, the judge wouldn't let me talk. The judge is going to let you talk. I've seen most judges who will actually say before they rule, do you have anything else? Do you have anything else? And, you know, if the other side stops talking, and you've got something important to say, and you don't think you got a chance to say it, you should say, Your Honor, I have one more thing to say. And if the judge is not going to let you say it, well, at least it's on the record now that you wanted to say something, okay? But you can generally get in every word you want to get in eventually. And the point is you just need to get it on the record. And by the way, you address the court as Your Honor. Again, I know people who don't like that. But again, like I said, you show respect for the court because you want the court to respect you. I mentioned this before, and I apologize if you watched this video previously I did about where I mentioned this concept. But I mentioned that everyone in the courtroom stands up for the judge, except for when the jury comes in, the judge stands up. And the bailiff or somebody will actually say, all rise for the jury. And everyone, including the judge, will stand up. And so the notion that, oh, I don't stand up for the judge stands up for everyone, including the jury, you know? So it's a matter of respect. And so I understand a lot of people who think, you know, our legal system's out of control or whatever, and they're upset with the legal system, and they think that the way of, you know, showing their displeasure with the legal system is to go in and disrespect it. Yeah, you can do that. It's not the most efficient way of handling it, though. If you have a legal issue, the most efficient way of handling it is to go in and treat the system with respect and actually act like an intelligent person who's trying to make a valid point. And you know, I can think of dozens of examples, but I'm just going to tell you right now that I can think of one particular case where there was a judge, one of the, I hate to use the phrase, but hardest rear-end guys I've ever seen. This judge was no nonsense. This judge was just, he had a reputation where, you know, you just backed off, let this judge do his thing. And I remember watching a case where a prosecutor came in and was prosecuting a guy for possession of marijuana a couple years ago. And I didn't catch the entire facts of the case. And I remember the prosecutor putting in his entire case and the defense attorney getting up there and very, very sheepishly trying to explain why the, you know, the evidence needed to be excluded. And at the end of his presentation, the judge just turned around to the prosecutor and goes, the evidence is excluded. Bam. And up until the moment that the judge ruled, everybody who had seen the presentation of the prosecutor and the demeanor of the judge and the demeanor of the defense attorney would have said, there's no way the judge is going to rule on this. But the judge ruled fairly. He listened to both sides. And yet people who just walked in out of the blue and just watched this judge on the bench, ah, that guy's a real hard ass, you know? He was. But he was a good judge. He actually listened to the parties, made good rulings, applied the law to the facts. And that was that. So, you know, I've also seen people go into court and be utterly disrespectful to the court. And I've seen judges who just put up with it and go, you know something? If that's how you want to handle it, that's fine. And I've seen judges be just as respectful back as the person should have been respectful to them, but wasn't. But you know something? I like to tell people, If you're going into a fight or an argument, you want to use everything you can that'll go your way. And if you're going into an argument or you're going into court, which can be viewed as a fight or an argument, take your pick, or both, one of the things that you can do to help things go your way, like I said, is go in and be respectful, be intelligent, and act as if you're actually trying to do things the correct way. And you'd be surprised at how much leeway you might get from a court that says, you know something, here's somebody who's not an attorney, but is actually being respectful. And that might actually benefit you more than you can possibly understand. So that's the overview of how courts work and what they look like. Questions or comments, fire them below. Otherwise, talk to you later. Bye-bye.